This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty of discussion to get into. We're going to talk about the greatest team the world has ever seen. And that may be more true now than ever with this black and gold Columbus crew. We'll get into that. There are some rumors about one of the star players for said team and one of the best players on that team.
Making a downward move, possibly.
Possibly, yeah. Maybe beneath this player. We'll see. There's also rumors of another star wanting to come to MLS who's, I don't know. I don't think this guy's out of his prime. Like he's completely past his prime, but he's past it. He's not completely out to pasture, but yeah, there's a star that wants to come to MLS and you'll be shocked. Not Sporting Kansas City.
Yes.
Somehow they didn't win the discovery rights on this player. It's almost like it's rigged, but we'll get into that. Another star player you may have heard of, Lionel Messi, might be missing some more games. Color me surprised.
Shocking.
Never saw that coming. And a guy that I like helped a team that Beam likes beat a team that neither of us like. No, I'm just kidding. I don't actually dislike Liverpool.
Yes,
but,
you do.
Manchester United did have a nice win in the FA Cup there, so we'll talk about that a little bit as well. Beam, how's the – we have to do ceiling update because I know your ceiling caved in a few weeks ago. What's the latest on that?
We're good. We're done. Everything has moved back into the room. Furniture is all good. So that was nice. I feel like I went crazy because last week we were doing a podcast and there was a lot going on. Like drywall guys finished last week, earlier in the week, like Tuesday or Wednesday maybe, which was nice. It was good because we finally like were able to like walk through the room and feel like, okay, this is nice. Like we vacuumed, you know, mopped the best that we could to like get our room cleaned up from like all the dust that was around our house. The guy told me, he's like, you're gonna want to put a coat of primer on top, not the paint and primer combo, but just the coat of primer to like seal in that dust to make sure that it doesn't. He's like, right. If you don't do that, your furnace may blow up. Like, get a new furnace filter. She's like, just
okay, sure,
be wary of that. And we're like, all right, that sounds good. And usually, you know, you would hire a painter to come in and do this, or they would do it. Like, we don't paint, we just do drywall. It's like, that's no problem.
You know what? I actually kind of want a guy who's like, painting? Never heard of it. Yeah. All I do is this one thing really well.
And he
like,
did.
I do
they
the drywall,
it was,
and that's what I do.
It was him and another guy, and they came in, and like, they were, I mean, they, it was over the course of a week, because, you know,
stuff
set, and kind of do everything. But no, it's good. So we painted, I felt like I was going to go crazy painting a ceiling white.
Oh.
Like, I just felt like I was going nuts because I'm like, all right, where did I stop? Where did I begin? So I had to do a coat of primer, another coat of like then the just paint, and then the final coat of paint. And by that final coat, I'm sitting there like, my head is spinning.
Yeah, you know? Right. And you're looking straight up.
So
and
my
your
neck,
arms are overhead.
Yeah, my arms are sore.
Oh, man.
Luckily, I've got like a 28-pound lug that I'm carrying around all day. So like
so your arms
my
are
shoulders
getting a good
feel okay after that. But my neck was sore from like staring up into oblivion. And then I felt like I was just looking into the opposite of a black hole, into a white hole where I'm like, I have no clue where I'm even at right now.
Dude, that's so funny that William has just turned one. He's what'd you say he weighs?
He's about 27 pounds.
Okay. My 4-year-old who is, I mean, September she'll be 5, weighs, I believe around 38 pounds.
Well, he's the 95th percentile for weight and the 13th for height.
Oh, yeah. Oh man, he's, you know what, if he ever needs some clothes in like 20-30 years, just let me know. I got plenty of clothes. I could probably help him out.
I got a tight head prop rugby player. Like, he's perfectly designed for that. But no, we're good, and everything got moved back in, and it was a real classic situation because my stepdad came up. He lives in Dayton, and he came up last weekend, and he's like, anything you need help with, if you need help painting, he's like, we had some damage like to our like actual, not window, like window glass, but like window frames. Cause when the stuff fell down, like chipped some of the wood off, he's like, we can, you know, kind of put like wood plaster on that. He's like, well, we'll just anything you need, I'll be over there. I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like, I need to paint these walls too. Cause you know, that's a whole thing. I'm like, I need to get that done. And so real classic situation when we're painting the ceiling, he's like coming up and like taping the walls to make sure that it's all good. And Meredith goes, I think I want to change the color. I'm like, this is Saturday. This is Saturday morning.
No.
And I said, well, if you're going to change the color, you better go to the paint store now, pick out some samples, come back, put it on the walls, then go back to the paint store and pick out. Because I'm like, we're moving. Like, this train.
We're started.
This train is rolling. I'm like, you need to pick up supplies. She goes, okay, that sounds good. She puts William down for a nap, runs to the paint store, gets three samples, paints each wall, you know.
Okay, yeah, to see what it looked like, right?
See what it looks like. She looks. And, you know, we're working on other stuff while that's going on. It dries. She goes, I like the gray. What about you guys? I'm like, yeah, gray looks good. And I'm like, well, we already have gray, but it's a darker, browner tint of gray compared to the gray that we have now. And so she goes back to the paint store, comes back with paint. So then we end up painting our entire front room. Like, this is the most classic situation. Yeah. But
you're already in the painting situation, at least. So it wasn't like you had much more to work to do.
Yeah, and I said to her, I'm like, we made a decision on living room or front room front of our house color paint within 45 minutes.
Hey, you know what, though? Yeah. As opposed to sitting there for 7 weeks looking at it and being like, well, you know.
We should paint this.
But is that a good enough blue? Is that blue, like, noble? You know, it's just stupid stuff you say. Yeah. It's like how, you know, NFL draft process where people look at a guy who's a stud like Marvin Harrison Jr. like, you know, I don't know if he is that good. And it's like, we've known for 3 years this guy's the best player in college football. I don't know, draft him? Anyway. The funny, I will add to that by saying, your wife, Meredith, is a lot like the complete opposite of my mom, where she was like, hey, you guys are doing a thing. I could add to this work, but it would be efficient. It would be quick. This would actually get a lot of stuff done very quickly. My mom, when I remember my dad would be like working on a car or we'd be outside doing something. My mom is not a hands-on person. She is more of she definitely is hands-on in the kitchen. She's hands-on with, like, raising children. She, like, you think of 1950s housewife, my mom is like, that's what I want to do. That's just how I'm not saying that's how women are. I'm saying that's how this woman is. That's how she likes to live. Let her live. Anyway, when we would be doing anything, like, outside or, you know, digging a hole to fix something or working on my dad's car.
Dig that trench.
Yeah, dad, we had two boys, so he was always dragging us out there to do stuff.
Yeah.
My mom would be 10 minutes into the project. We had just laid out the tarp maybe to start the first few things of dirt out of the hole. She's like, are you guys tired? Do you want to stop? I was going to order food. Why don't we come on in and I'll get you lemonade. And it was just every 20 minutes it would be like, are you done? Can you stop? You
she
guys
look
OSHA, exhausted.
Like
she wanted to take care of us.
Yeah.
She was offering nourishment and health, but it was like, we're trying to get this done instead of it. So we always had to be like, no, mom, I appreciate the nice love. And yes, what I'm saying is my mom loved me too much. And somehow that was bad, too. I don't know. I don't think it is. I think it's actually fine. But
and
I just
your
realized
dad was out there like, yeah, your hand got ripped off by a chainsaw. You'll be all right. You'll be fine.
But like painting a room, it would be like, oh, my gosh, you've done half of the wall. You need a break. It's like, no, we won't. We want to get this done. I want the ultimate break, which is it's over.
Yeah, and that was it was nice. So it's done.
That's the best.
Like,
isn't
that
the best
feeling?
We
did it on Sunday too. Like we finished the walls on Sunday because the ceiling was already done. We let that dry, and then on Monday night when William went to bed, it's like let's put the furniture back because we had a giant like you know bourbon hutch like it's got like wine glasses,
sure,
and, like,
sure,
big like a Dutch oven in it. So like it's heavy.
Man,
so we had to take all the stuff out, move it back into the room. Had to move a couch, a couple of chairs, like tables, lights, paintings that we had up there. I'm like, on Monday night, we finally got our room back, and we did the scene out of Step Brothers where Meredith and I looked at our back room, which all of this stuff had been in. We're like, we just have so much room for activities now. It was very nice.
You know, it is, and this is why I think if you're a younger person, maybe you don't have a place like that or you haven't lived in a house like that, or you wonder why your parents, maybe when you were kids, they'd be like, you spilled something. Ah! Like, they'd freak out when you did the smallest little thing or, like, you spill something on the floor. And it's like, you don't understand the amount of work that may have gone into getting that room to look like it does right now. Because, like, after that, like, poor Willie's never going to know that's happened. He's not going to have any concept of it.
He was bummed that the other couch moved out of the back room because he was able to, like, move his way across the entire room.
Yeah, yeah, right.
We had chairs in there, so he was just grabbing onto furniture and just boom. Like,
cruising,
all of a sudden,
right?
He's to the kitchen.
That's what they call that for the little kids, the cruising, where they're just grabbing onto things to move themselves around. Yeah. Well, don't worry. Soon enough, he'll have full mobility.
Well, I've told you about the Popcorn Brigade, haven't I?
I don't know.
So we go to Studio 35 every Friday night.
Oh, yeah,
I told you about that. And there's a group of older folks in there. They're lovely. They're awesome. They live in the neighborhood, and have been very nice to Meredith and I. It was a great all-time pivot by us because we were going to go somewhere. Traffic was bad. We're like, let's just hop in the studio. Now we go there every Friday.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. One of the guys who was there who we really, really enjoy, he was like, William, do you want to go up to the bar and get a beer with me? So he's like, walking with William up to the bar, and I'm like taking a picture of it. I'm like, this is – if he takes his first steps here, I'm like, it would be – it would be the perfect situation.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he does. Yeah. And the Popcorn Brigade will celebrate it, quite sure.
They got him. Yeah, they got him cupcakes for his birthday and all kinds of good stuff.
There you go. Nice. Well, that sounds fun. I'm glad your guys' ceiling got fixed, and I'm glad better deal. Yeah, yeah, we're good. We got show choir ended, so now we've got weekends again. So it's good. My daughter did a lot of fun stuff with her 7th grade, the junior high show choir. So, yeah, it's good. And then just in time for soccer to start.
Perfect.
Now we're into – couple weeks, we'll be back into youth soccer.
You get no rest.
Oh, that's all good. Three kids, what did you expect, right? That's what I got to keep telling myself. So speaking of soccer, the Crew dominating over Red Bull. The energy drinks came in, and they were promptly crushed.
Yeah.
The cans, they were empty cans. Make all the analogies you want. The thing that's impressive about this win, which this is another win at home, which is like we've talked about, you got to take care of business when you are at home. Got to stack up points, especially this early part of the season while everybody's relatively healthy. Don't know what's coming down the pipe with all the other stuff you have with
summer transfer window,
Champions League, all the international competitions, players could be in and out, League's Cup that no one cares about except Don Garber. All that stuff's coming. Get points now while it's relatively stable. But Red Bull is known, and they talk about this on the broadcast. A lot of MLS experts are bringing this up, how Red Bull is famous for making teams not be able to complete passes accurately. They press and they do it well. They're one of the better teams in MLS at it. Doesn't mean they're one of the better teams in MLS, but that aspect of their game is pretty good. Wilfried Nancy, I remember after this game, was effusive about how great it was that they played the way they play against this type of pressure and did not fold, did not buckle, did not change their approach. They just showed that they can execute this against teams that like to play a style that should counteract what they want to do, but it doesn't. You can press this team all you want. It looks like the Crew are going to handle it. But the stat I saw from Matthew Doyle, I think, who is the armchair analyst guy for MLS, who's a really good follow on Twitter if you haven't followed him, he said that Red Bull last year had 7 games of all their games where teams completed at a better than 70% completion rate on passes.
Okay.
2 of them were the Columbus Crew games that they played. And last week, they completed 90% of their passes. Yeah. And he was like, this is not something teams do against Red Bull New York. It just does not happen.
So I'm sitting here and I'm watching this game on Saturday evening, and it was great. Meredith was sitting there and watching it with me too. And I mean, there were points in the game where I was audibly like laughing.
Yeah.
Like this is so good that I'm like laughing at the TV, like hearing, and I had Chris on, you know, doing the broadcast, and it's always great when they have a home game because I always listen to him, and just hearing like his passion for it and just going through and cycling through, because you have to remind yourself, like, Chris isn't doing it for a TV audience, he's doing it for radio, so it sounds distinctively different than what the TV guy is, and he's like whipping around the names, and I'm like, the ball's just going crazy, and then all of a sudden, like, boom, ball over the top, like, they're off, like, now they're off to the races. And even Meredith, who I give her a lot of credit, she has become much more of a soccer fan over the last few years. And,
yeah.
You know, the more that she's gone to games and, like, we've gotten together with our friends who watch United games, like, she just kind of understands a little more about it. She was like, this is one of the best games that I've watched the Crew play. And I looked at her, like, dead in the eyes. I'm like, this may be the best game that I've ever watched the Crew play.
Yeah, man. It was as good as I've ever seen.
It was remarkable.
It's one of those things even where – is it something that particular game is going to go down as, I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. Like, it's not something where the dominant force was, oh man, did you see that crazy goal they had from 40 yards away? And or there's sometimes where teams just look a little more dominant.
Like Kellen Acosta. It's not going to be like, did you see the Kellen Acosta goal?
Oh yeah.
With the, you know, 50 yards away with the wind blowing it back. Yeah. Like, there's not a memorable aspect like that.
No, I mean, there were good goals in this game. But it was just, if you didn't know what you were watching, you didn't know that backstory of what New York does and what the Crew do. But, like, if you've learned how to watch teams that do what the Crew do, which is to possess the ball, play out of the back, be bold, when you're looking for that and you see it and you see them executing it, and there are times where I'm sure if you're newer to soccer, you watch that, you go, God, it looks like they're almost losing the ball every time. And it's like, but they're not.
Yeah.
And every guy that's just missing the pass, just missing the ball, just missing the tackle, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They are drawing it as closely as you can to then get those guys out of position and go, like you said, and just have tremendous success once they decide to go forward. And it's stunning to watch this team. Yeah. And apparently,
well, we hadn't seen it like we saw it last year, right? A lot, like in the lead up. Right before the playoffs, in the playoffs, we saw it.
We
like
finally
the full
got to see
force, what it is.
Yes.
We hadn't seen that iteration yet this year, and which was awesome because you're not really dropping points. I mean, we had the game over at Minnesota. Okay, that's fine. But, like, you've been winning in ways where it's like, yeah, that's not really crew-esque, like the way that Wilfried Nancy likes to play. And then you get to this game, and it's like, okay, they're back. Like, you've been back playing for a month. It was at home. It's raucous environment. You're going up against a team that you really like to play close against, like those close edges that you were talking about.
Yeah.
And it just went right the whole way. Like whatever the young guy's name, the young midfielder is for Red Bulls who got sent off in like the 96th minute.
I'm blanking on who it is.
So they have the U23s, right? Because we're in an international break. So like Aiden Morse is going to get called up and then he was going to get called up too. And I thought Chris did a great job on the radio broadcast of talking about that, where he was like, yeah, there may be a spot that they're fighting for. And like Aiden Morris, just like he just outclassed
lost
him all night.
Game.
And that was a culmination of like, hey man, double middle finger to you. Like,
yeah, that's right. And that's what I think is so impressive about this team, to your point about how the first month of the season, it almost felt like the crew were playing a bit of their style, but also holding their breath, or they were playing a muted version of it, because I think in some ways you had to, with all the fixture congestion, the roster moves you have to make, the different things you got to do.
Get some new players. You're figuring out, you know, times and, you know, roster availability, what percentage of guys are going to play, who's going to be your substitutions. Just that link, like it takes a while to get linked in and connected.
But they knew now, we got a few weeks till the next time we get into that kind of situation. We have a game at home. We're in front of our fans. We know we get a week off, but not a week off, but a week of regular back to normal kind of stuff. Let's go for it. Let's, you know, they played like a team that was letting their hair down essentially and was like, all right, now I can play. Now I don't have to, we're not waiting because there's a Tuesday game where we also have to manage minutes and everybody's got to try to stay fit. And it was like, nah, man, we're going to go and then we're going to get some recovery and we're going to be good by Wednesday, Thursday for this game. You know, they had a much better way of looking at that. And
it was awesome.
it was
really tremendous to watch.
And you brought this up to me before the show. I mean, it's not just something that people are noticing domestically. It's getting noticed worldwide. People are paying attention to how this team plays. And they stack up pretty well against some of the best competition in the world. Obviously, it's a system. I don't want to say it's a system like these players can't play. They certainly can. It would be incredible to see what some of the best teams in the world could do if Wilfried Nancy was having them play that boldly. Yeah. There are coaches who do that. Wilfried Nancy is not the only one. And some of those teams, though, that do that, play well under pressure, all those kind of things, they're all names you've heard of.
So this is according to CIES, Football Observatory.
Okay.
All right. And the CIES, if you're wondering, it's the official account of research group, which means, so they're based in Switzerland. And think of, like, if you were ever on the website, like, 538, right? Like, they do, like, a lot of data and a lot of analytics and kind of projecting out. They used to do those full club rankings, like, where the teams in MLS stack up against the world. Like, total, like, power rankings. And they're just looking at strictly
metrics, numbers,
analytics.
Yeah, how they fare against competition. They're
all
not,
these,
you know,
right. Yeah. It doesn't factor that in. Like, it's just looking at the metrics of who you're playing and the way that you're looking at. So I'm reading this, and I saw this. It's the highest ball retention percentage under high-intensity pressure measured over the world's best 28 leagues.
Okay. I mean, you're talking about every professional team you could have ever heard of, and plenty you haven't, are included in this analysis. So that's about every major soccer league you can possibly think of.
That you can possibly think of. So 28 leagues in the world. Best leagues in the world are analyzed in this under this scope. Like that's what they do. They analyze those 28 leagues and then they spit numbers out. So again, the highest ball retention percentage under high intensity pressure. Red Bull likes to do high intensity pressure.
That was what you just saw in that game.
Like that's
what
they like to do.
High intensity pressure.
That's what they like to do. The number one ranked team in the world on this scale is Manchester City. It's like if you watch a City game, yeah, and if you watched a couple of weeks ago, like that Liverpool City game, it's like, boy, Liverpool really took to the game to them, like kind of flipped the script on them, and that's why it was so awesome to watch, because like rarely do you see City kind of give up a possession and like sit back on their heels, like because they're very good at attacking the ball on defense and winning the ball back because they like to play with the ball. Liverpool a couple of years ago had that monster press that they would do, right?
Remember that?
Like
Absolutely.
When they were rattling off and knocking off like Champions Leagues and Premier Leagues, like their press was always pretty incredible. Real Madrid, the number two ranked team in the world for this. Paris Saint-Germain, the number three ranked team.
I mean,
in the
these are your big dogs. And also, all those teams have guys who may be like in their position on the field. There's an argument for at least three or four of them on each of those teams that they may be the best in the world at whatever they do. And that's the teams that have. So it makes sense that teams with that level of, you know, skill and that amount of pay grade that you're getting, they would be able to handle pressure because they have talents that.
As a collective unit, they are world class.
Yeah, and then you've got individual talents that you could argue at certain positions may just be the best guy to do that currently
on
alive.
On planet Earth.
Right now, yeah. like that's
one of 6.6 billion.
It makes sense that they might have some of those players, and that's why they can play very well out of pressure.
PSG is three. Arsenal are fourth. Makes sense.
One of the top teams in the Premier League
What they're doing, and we'll see if Mikel Arteta can continue to have them rolling on as we get to the end of the Premier League season. Bayer Leverkusen, number five. I know that probably makes Liverpool fans happy because Xabi Alonso.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But that's another team that's having, if you've not watched the Bundesliga, they are brilliant. Like they've been brilliant. They are winning that league. They are amazing.
Number six on this list. Again, of the highest ball retention percentage under high intensity pressure measured across all 28 leagues
in the world.
The sixth ranked team in the world in this, behind Manchester City, Real Madrid, PSG, Arsenal, and Leverkusen, are your Columbus Crew. I saw this and I'm like, it makes sense.
Right.
It makes a lot of sense.
And let's just run through.
Although it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, right. Let's just click through real quick. All those coaches at all those stops you just mentioned, they are either legends who, if there is a World Soccer Hall of Fame, whatever you would want to call it, like they're in. Or they're guys who are, like in Xavi's case there at Bayer Leverkusen, are going to get hired to run one of the biggest. I mean, Bayer Leverkusen is a huge club.
And also, I mean, Xabi Alonso, like what he did as a player, remarkable.
Also that, but like as a coach now, he's on his pathway to being another Pep, possibly, right? Like he could be one of those guys, which means he'll be very awesome and extremely annoying. But
for Liverpool.
Yes. But yes, then he'll be doing it for Liverpool. Anyway, I'm just saying that's a testament to the Crew players. It's a testament to Nancy. It's a testament to the fact that this team, they are, I'm telling you, like, we don't know how long they will play like this.
Yeah.
You are in a stretch. If you go from, say, August of last year when League's Cup ended to today, that's less than 9 months. You are watching a 9-month run of a team where they ran through the league at the end of the year, ran through the playoffs, came back from a huge deficit against FC Cincinnati, and then won MLS Cup against the best. I mean, again, a humongously talented team in LAFC that you beat at your place, playing your style that lots of people said, but can they do it against LAFC? And they did. And so now you're watching that team play Champions Cup competition, big test coming up in a few weeks, right? When that goes against Tigres, that's another step in this process. What I'm saying is right now you may be watching one of the best versions of one of the best Crew teams we've ever seen. Yeah. And there's no telling when that might change. Like
when it ends.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not even saying that it ends if, like, oh, they don't, what are you saying, they won't make the play? No, I'm saying, like, they may still make the playoffs, make a run, and even win MLS Cup and not be playing as well as they are right now.
Yeah.
This is a team that is functioning at such a high level because of how they've split the roster for all these different games. And then when you put them all back together, they just went right back into beast mode. That is highly unlikely and not usual. And the teams that regularly do that are called Manchester City, Real Madrid. Now Arsenal's
Bayern
in that
ranks
mix.
Ninth on this list, by the way. So like
Bayern Munich.
Yeah. Bayern Munich.
Who's beneath the Crew, right under the Crew? Who do they beat
Southampton,
out?
Southampton, which is...
Okay, well, this is a league. That's a championship team. Yeah. But then
Leicester's behind them.
Yeah, but those are two of the two best teams in championship. They're getting promoted, right? So, okay.
After being relegated.
Yeah, so against relative to competition, they're the two best teams in their league. Makes sense. And then who's after...
Shakhtar's 10th.
Shakhtar Donetsk, which is a
Champions League team
every year,
perennially.
Most every year Champions League team.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're talking about 10 of the best teams in the world. And the Crew are in that mix. And I agree. That's the way I'm looking at it.
It's really remarkable. And to your point about the way that they are playing right now, and chances are if you're listening to this podcast, like, you are a Crew fan. But even if you are, like, on the Euro snob, like, pedestal, and if you want to jump in, like, now, do it now.
Well,
the quality of play is something. I mean, I you've been a Crew fan for much longer than I have, Bone, and I've really just jumped in 2 feet, you know, a few years ago. But it's I'm at this point now where you could put this team up against any team in the world. I'm like, it won't be a disaster. Like, no.
I mean, they would be able to find
their own way.
And again, this would be relative to, you know, pay grade and all that, and the guys you have. But obviously, they're, you know, the level of competition's gotten better, and we haven't, like, there are so many other things that go into this, but one of them is you have a guy in Cucho that, you know, if we possess the ball long enough, if we pull everyone back, if we give this guy just a little bit of room, he will either make the pass or score the goal. Like, he's just nails up there. And we don't know how long this guy will be here. I'm glad he is. I understand, though, if people look at this platinum-haired freak and say, we've got to get him back over in Europe. We got to. This guy is bagging goals left and right. He's a competitor.
Assisting left and right. He's helping out left and right.
Did you see the goal he scored where, you know, nice play, nice build. He gets the ball, puts it in, and then as he has that, you know, like most goal scorers, as soon as they hit the ball, they kind of know it's going in. He turns, he finds the social media guy's camera and gives a little look to the camera and then spits, like, just as his, like, yeah, that's done. Like, just a little, like, spitting a sunflower seed out after, and then, like, went and celebrated. Like, the whole thing is just, this guy is 100% locked in at all times right now. He's playing as well as any guy at the top of a formation anywhere in the world. And I'm not saying he's the best. Erling Haaland's the best at that. I get it. This guy is, for the amount of money you can spend in MLS, this is the best you're going to get at that. Like,
it's better than what you got. I mean, it's better than what you paid for.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. That's why I'm saying I don't have any inside knowledge. I've not heard anything. I hope he's here for the rest of his career.
Same.
I'm just telling you, I know how the business of soccer works.
He's a $30 million player.
Absolutely.
Probably more.
Absolutely. If a Champions League level team could see him and say, there's a reasonable case to be made, we could pay $30 million to bring that guy in. Now, he's not going to start over the $200 million strikers they have, but they would want a guy like that in case there's injury, or to bring him in stoppage time, or not at stoppage time, but bring him in as a super sub or something. But he's got that level of talent. He could go score, I believe, 10 to 15 goals in the Premier League, for sure. And I'm not trying to rip this dude. We haven't talked a lot about him in the last few years because of where now he's playing, but Christian Pulisic is having a hell of a season for AC Milan. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him when I say this. You don't think Cucho could go do that same thing right now in Italy?
Yeah, he could.
He could. I'm telling you, like, that's as Christian Pulisic, that season he's having, which is one of the best he's ever had, playing in a tremendous league for a great team.
Which is great to see, by the way.
Fantastic to see. Good for the future of U.S. soccer. Don't look up Gio Reyna because it's not going well.
Yeah.
But Christian Pulisic is back, baby. And what I'm saying is people are just, like, looking at him and going, oh, man, this might be the best player U.S. has ever had. I'm telling you, Cucho is playing that level of good right now. A few years older than Pulisic, but still, like, actually, they may be around the same age now. Pulisic's probably 25. Yeah. I think Cucho's, like, 26 or 27.
I think you're right about that.
They're not that far. I'm just saying, like, this is the level the man is playing at. He could go play in Italy. He could go play for a Champions League team. He could go play in England, Germany, you name your Spain. He could go for a good club and bag goals like this. He would be on that roster, playing in league matches, winning games. But it's not just him. It's just you know you've got that at the top of your roster. You know you've got Aiden Morris and Darlington Nagbe controlling everything. Again, I'll say because of Aiden Morris, enjoy it while we have it. Like, that's – I don't know how long he's going to be here, but enjoy it while it's here, man. He got they all this group got you the championship.
Cucho is younger than Pulisic. He's 24.
All right. I don't know why I thought he was sold. Why did I think Cucho? Dude,
he turns 25 in April.
Cucho is going to be someone will buy this dude for $30 million.
They
You're
should.
Right. $30, $40 million. You're right. He is, I mean, hell, they got Pulisic for $60 million back. Now, again, everybody acknowledges that deal wasn't great, but like, I'm telling you, that's if it would make you excited to find out as a U.S. soccer fan who doesn't, maybe you watch a lot of MLS, if you would be excited that Christian Pulisic was being signed by the Crew, you have a replacement
Yeah.
Like, you have that guy. He's not an American player. He is, you know, he's different as far as stylistically and all these other things. But as far as what he's producing, your results would, I think, be absolutely
the
same.
He's got to be on Colombia for Copa.
Oh, for sure. Like, he's going to be, I'll be shocked if he's not.
And the last time they had national team call-ups, he was on it, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He's a lock. I would think he's a lock for Copa America.
Right, so now on FOTMOB, they have his value at $15
million. I think at least make back and then some the money that the Crew paid for him. It was $10 million transfer.
Yeah.
I'm saying they'll get double the money back for him. And I don't think the Crew are looking at it that way right now.
Stats compared to – I'm looking at his wheel, like his, his stat wheel. You know how they have that? Like, if you're a video game fan, like, you kind of look at it and say, all right, here's your strengths and here's your weaknesses.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
This is stats compared to other forwards. And the way that they get this metric – is if I can click on it, the player trait highlights charts that a player's statistical strength and weaknesses in comparison to similar players. Each stat is adjusted on a per 90 basis, includes matches from the past 365 days. This is players across the world.
Yeah.
All right. This is measured against every
same thing as like that, probably measuring the top 28 leagues, something
they
like that.
Probably use
right.
the
yeah.
same category. Aerial duels won 35%. It's real low. Defensive actions 42%. Real low. Chances created, 94th percentile. Touches, 97th percentile. Goals, 97th percentile. Shot attempts, he is the top 100 percentile in the world. He is the best of the best across this metric on the planet.
Dude, I'm telling you, I know 90% of the people listening to us are like, we know Kucho's great.
Yeah, we got it.
But I hope you understand what you're seeing here is.
And the way that they're implementing him and the way that he's playing in the system is a huge reason why you're seeing.
Yes, it's
why
it's
you're
not
seeing
just,
the way that it is right now.
Yeah, if he went somewhere that was going to like make him a target forward, that's not his game.
It's not his game. It might be. It could be.
No, I mean, he could probably do something with that.
He's not. Yeah, like a Robert Lewandowski. He's not that.
Yeah.
He's not going to do that.
What I'm saying is it is so rare that you find a team of players that understand what they are supposed to do. They have a manager who is able to get them to buy in, and then they have the talent to execute all that and do it consistently and over time. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes as soccer fans, sports fans do this. How many championships can we win?
Yeah.
I don't know. What I know is this experiment was a wild success. Yeah. Let's continue to just enjoy the fact, like, if your goal was to grow a money tree and it sprouted money, don't go, well, how many millions can I make? Just say, the experiment worked. We might get 1,000 off this tree. We might get 1,000,000 off this tree. I don't know, but we got it to, it happened. We've proven this works.
It sprouted and it is fertile.
So enjoy it. Yeah. Just get the free money while you can. And then eventually, if let's say your goalkeeper ends up going overseas, that might happen. We're going to discuss that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. The rumors about Patrick Schulte, what do we make of them? We'll discuss. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United. Maybe we should just rename it to, Wilfried Nancy Worship Podcast. Yeah. Like, we're just going to, like, bow down. I'm telling you, man.
Wilf Corner.
Yeah, we are so excited about this Crew team and how they're playing right now. And I know that it's probably nauseating for some of you because I feel like we do this a lot lately, but...
But it's also...
it's deserved.
Have you listened 2 years ago when we were doing this podcast?
Yeah.
That sucked.
Go... Do or don't. Go look up how Caleb Porter's doing in New England. Yeah. Like, this was something
and their
that...
giant tea bag that they throw onto the field. You thought the jackhammer was dumb.
Oh, my God.
Buddy,
dude,
that's one of the worst I've seen.
Yeah, teabagging is just never not going to be funny word to me. But two, it's a teabag.
Watch me teabag this field. Like,
but also, I think it's good that we're involving everyone, and now it's a tee box as well. Like, you've got it's not a golf tee box. They had a big box of tea they threw into the fake Boston Harbor. It was, God, it was so anticlimactic. And I feel bad because you know that guy, whoever did it the first time, was it a celebrity they had or someone? What I know is they'll eventually get to a point where they'll be like, hey, season ticket holder, you get to be the one who does this. And they'll be like, yay, that's great.
Pass.
Everyone hates this. Stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but New England's not doing well because, you know, Caleb Porter, I'm sure he'll get them playing better. But that version of soccer, while it did work for the crew,
it's
the
antithesis of what's going on now.
Yeah, it's so different and so not fun. It can be fun if you win. You just have to kind of hold your nose and watch the game, but say, all right, but at least they'll get the job done and hopefully we'll get the 3 points.
It's the Jose Mourinho aspect.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's winning. It's winning soccer if your whole team can buy into the system.
To me, this is one of the things that makes soccer beautiful compared to other sports. And I love other sports too. But in soccer, there's a philosophical thing that happens with teams where you have, on the one end of the spectrum, you have the entirely cynical approach, which is all I want to do is win. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what it does for your heart or your, you know, emotions or how great you feel. If I get you 3 points, isn't that all you want? Don't you just look at this trophy?
Right.
And you're like, yeah, that's all we want is the trophy. And it just takes the joy out of it. It doesn't when they are going down Main Street with the parade with the trophy.
Right.
That's great. But a lot leading up to that, week in, week out, is not as fun to watch. Then you have the other end of the spectrum, which is we can have this be the most beautiful thing. Yeah. We can win in a beautiful, stylistic way. It does not always have to be a drudgery. And until you really watch soccer and learn the sport, you can't learn about that whole aspect of it. You can't understand why some people would hate Jose Mourinho if you looked at his resume, right? Like, there would be a lot of people who would say, well, why do you not like that guy? I mean, he wins a lot. And it's like, yes, but the way he does it.
Why do you hate Diego Simeone, Brandon?
How they do it, right? It's not fun to watch. And then you watch teams like the Crew, who now are playing this style, where Wilfried Nancy is a poet philosopher out there saying, I believe that you can do any of these things if you want to. And we have an obligation to make this entertaining.
Right.
That's not cynical. That's entirely hopeful and joyous. And that's something that I never understood when I first started watching soccer. So,
well, that's why Brazil took over. I mean, just like
Jogo Bonito.
Like a wrecking ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of the way that they played, the amount of world-class players that they had. Because it's the first time, you know, you had watched it prior and in different cases, but like to burst on the scene, because that was really my first like foray into like World Cup soccer was like Ronaldinho, old Ronaldo, Brazil, yellow kits, like that to me stands out more than the rest. Yeah, the Jogo Bonito, like the Ronaldinho, like the gold Nike cleats, right?
Yeah.
That's emblazoned so much in my mind, and the way that they play, like the Brazilian flair. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody likes that.
Right.
You could not like Brazilian players, but the way that they play, you're like, even if they're bad and they're losing the game, like that's Brazil. That's the way they do it.
But it's always entertaining and beautiful and fun, or it can be. And certainly Brazil has had bruisers and guys that can just knock your teeth out and all that stuff too. They play the game really well at all levels, and they've had guys even on those Jogo Bonito teams, those beautiful game type of teams.
Yeah.
They did have guys who were just ruthless, but the style was always, we're here to entertain. We're here to have fun. And I if I could pick, now we have a winner, I'm glad that we have one that's like this. And we had one. Hey, we had one with Caleb Porter, right? Yep. We won a championship. The Crew did with that team. I think this is as much fun as that one was. Also, it was during the pandemic. We couldn't celebrate it the same way. But this one just feels so much more connected and feels so much more like what soccer fans want to see, what people enjoy. And so I'm happy for that. I'm glad that we have that here. So very cool stuff. We do have to talk about Patrick Schulte. The rumor is that, again, going back to the cynical business of soccer, once you're good, people notice, right? Patrick Schulte getting apparently the rumor mill saying that Arsenal is interested in him. Let's very briefly recap how it's gone for Zach Steffen, U.S. national team pool goalkeeper, who then went to go sign with Manchester City. Can't blame him. We obviously know as Crew fans, he got loaned out a bunch of times, didn't really pan out, back in the league now, and not in the national team picture at all.
Yeah.
Right? So that didn't work out. Matt Turner went to sign with Arsenal. And then got, I believe, loaned out.
Sold, I believe.
Sold, sold. You're right, sold. And he's at least getting minutes, yeah, or I mean, has gotten minutes and all
he's
that.
Playing for them.
Yeah. And he's still the national team keeper, but I don't think it's going there already are people saying, but is he? You know, I mean that's right. That's gonna be questioned over the next few years. It didn't work out that he played for Arsenal is the point. Right. And then now you have Arsenal again sniffing around another national team pool level keeper, and Patrick Schulte's on his way to getting some of these looks. I mean,
yeah, it's tough for Matt Turner too because he was just benched. I mean, he's been benched.
Oh, that's right.
By Nottingham Forest.
That's
for
right.
A decent amount of time. So
yeah,
like,
that's right. It hasn't.
That's
gone.
On
I
its
tra- it has not
that's
gone
on its trajectory to being more Zach Steffen like.
Yeah, right. It's not there yet.
Than like a Tim Howard.
But I mean, it was like it has not gone the way it's thought. The last few guys, big time names that have gone over there. It's obviously we've had plenty of, and I'm blanking on some of the names, but there have been plenty of guys who started as academy players or that level of age, got into a team in Europe, maybe not in the Premier League, but play all their soccer there. Like who was at Club Bruges that I'm blanking on?
Club Bruges.
They had a keeper that we have.
Colin Farrell's favorite.
Yeah.
Favorite team.
In Bruges, right. Well, anyway, there's been guys who have been in Europe, but they started with that team and kind of came
like
up
Christian
with
Christian Pulisic, I think, started like with Dortmund, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He
went over there.
Yeah, went over very young. Family moved over there, or yeah. Dad did anyway. But I'm just saying, I want Patrick Schulte to get whatever's coming for him as far as success
Same.
And riches. Like I said, all these guys that want a trophy, as much as I'd like you to stay here for the rest of your careers, I know it's not necessarily going to happen. I wish you the best of luck. I personally think an Arsenal move is a bad idea for him. I don't think a move to Europe is a bad idea, though. If he wants to do that, I think he will obviously have opportunities, and he is good enough to play over there.
Well, and he's the modern goalkeeper, right? I mean, play it out the back, play it with your feet. Like, and there was also rumors that Manchester United was interested in him, too. Like, it was Arsenal and United.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, Chelsea has now got in. So, like, every big club kind of over in England has been kind of eyeing Patrick Schulte. It's, like, hard to blame them because look at what he's done. Look at his age. Look at the way that he plays inside of the system that Wilfried Nancy likes to employ. That's obviously a huge reason why they're able to play the way that they do is because of the way that Patrick Schulte plays. And, like, we're only a year into that experiment, right? I mean, Patrick Schulte's only been the first-team goalkeeper for a year. Like,
this,
he usurped Aloy Rue. He was on the bench.
Yeah, well, he was on the bench, or maybe it was just a few weeks from now, a year ago, where he had the blunder against FC Cincinnati, and they lost that game, and everybody was like, what is, what's up with this guy? And then gone from that to in a year's time or less, Arsenal knocking on the door saying, we're interested. I mean, that just shows you how quickly, one way or the other, fortunes can change for a goalkeeper, young
Matt
goalkeepers
Turner,
especially.
Right? I mean, this time last year, what were we talking about with him?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to make the big move. Okay, we're going to see how that works. And it's like, now it's like,
right.
Now you got benched by Nottingham Forest.
I look at it this way. If I'm Patrick Schulte, or if I was advising him, and I'm taking the crew fan hat off, and I'm just looking at it as what makes sense for you. Because, I mean, this is what we do, right? When we talk sports, we have to sometimes take our fan hat off and say, what's actually going on here? I think the best thing for him is one more year, and I don't mean necessarily through the end of MLS season. It might be one more full summer-to-summer year playing soccer here, getting on the national team radar a little bit higher, getting some of those starts, getting those international minutes. You want to strike while the iron's hot, but also for goalies, you can play a lot longer in your prime than some of the other positions. He's still got plenty of time to continue growing what he is.
20 years old?
I mean, he's learned so much in the last year. One more year of that feels like then if he makes a move, and not to Arsenal, because Arsenal, those level teams are going to go out and buy $50 million goalkeepers, $30 million goalkeepers, and they're going to kind of be beholden to that.
Yeah.
They're going to want guys who are starting for big Arsenal fans want someone who's starting for a high level national team, right? Manchester United fans want someone who's starting, even though you don't always get that. That's what you want. You want guys who are starting goalkeeper for France, starting goalkeeper for England, starting goalkeeper for Brazil, right? You want these guys. So the U.S. are not there on that level yet. I don't think you're going to get that type of fee, which means they're not going to be as loyal to you. So they're going to instantly say, we've got this asset. Maybe someday it works out. In the meantime, let's loan him out to three different places.
Yeah.
And you're there for 3 years bouncing around, kind of getting your footing. I think it would be better to go to a smaller club. It's like, we're going to invest $15 million in this guy, $20 million in this guy.
And you're going to be our
guy. And that's our guy because that to us is a $50 million transfer.
And we're going to ride you.
Yeah. And I'm not saying he's a $20 million player. I'm just pointing out if a smaller club in, like, you know, championship spends that kind of money, they're going to invest in him. They're going to want to keep him when he goes up to the Premier League if they can get up there, right? He's the type of keeper I think you could ride up to the Premier League.
Of course.
Yeah. So I do think the move to Europe is coming for him. I think the move to Europe for Aiden Morris, I'm shocked. I will be shocked if this summer, if he's after this summer, he's still with the club.
Same.
Not because I think he wants out or anything. I think he just...
He's ready for the move.
You saw those moments with him and Nagby.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the...
You're seeing them.
You saw him go back out on the field after MLS Cup, right? Yeah. Where he went out in the rain. Adam King, our guy, I think got footage of him just standing out there. It's like, I mean, he knows at some point he may not be back to defend an MLS Cup. Yeah. So I think that summer window is probably where he gets
moved. A good job by Bez and the gang for renegotiating contract with him.
Hey, man. Yeah. They renegotiated that. You've got guys like Zawadzki that are there.
Yep.
Guys like Farsi are in now. Farsi's getting... He's the Algerian national team's calling him, and he snubbed Canada. Did you see that this week where Canada was – he born in Canada but is Algerian descent. And so he said, I love Canada. I grew up – was born there, all that stuff. But my heart is to play for Algeria. I can't – anyway, nice to have team players on this team that multiple national teams are like, please sign with us.
Multiple.
And that's a guy you locked up for how many years with Farsi, who also in years or two time could be – on, you know, looking for a transfer. These are all young, talented
players.
Why
does Darlington not play for our national team?
He doesn't want to. It's been a thing it's been a thing with him where he has, I believe because there was a lot of backlash with the way he was deployed. Remember when he came in the league, he was seen as like a winger who was going to kind of be this offensive-minded player. And then when they would deploy him like that with the national team, I know there was some friction with that. And I think then the fact that he is just settled into the idea of that's not for me. I don't want to deal with that.
Okay,
I don't want to deal with that drama. I'm here to do what I do professionally, and that's it. Good for him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him at all.
I didn't know that story. I can't blame
him. I know there was something to that where it was – I mean, they want him. They would have loved to have him last go around. They did not because he just does. He doesn't want to do it, and I can't say I blame the guy. All right, let's talk about some other news from around MLS. The rumors – not rumors. It's been reported, right, that – Olivier Giroud is coming for LAFC.
He's beautiful.
He is beautiful, handsome. And he is apparently on his way to LAFC because they have discovery rights on him. Because they apparently figured out, guys, that Olivier Giroud, good.
Yeah, the leading...
No one knew that.
Leading scorer in French football history. Yeah, that guy's good.
Apparently good.
That's shocking. I don't know. That move doesn't really move the needle for me. I mean, I know that he's really good. He's world-class. He still plays for the national team sometimes, depending on the health and kind of what's going on. Remember the whole thing with Benzema?
Back
in the World Cup. Like, he's good. He can't move. Like,
No.
He put on a goalie shirt a couple of months ago and, like, played for... Was it AC Milan or Inter Milan? I think it was AC Milan at the time.
I think you're right, yeah.
Put on the goalie shirt, did some good things, had the save, wanted to protect the face. It's like that's kind of what Olivier Giroud has been up to.
Yeah.
Penalty taker. Unbelievable penalty taker.
I think it's one of those where you bring him in like a Chiellini where there's going to be a lot of people who, you know, will play with him on that team who will then be attracted to learning from him and all that stuff. And he will sell tickets and jerseys and all that stuff. And he will score goals in MLS.
He's Hollywood.
He's Hollywood 100%. It's exactly the type of move LAFC would do. It's also exactly the type of move that this league would never allow a team that is not situated near an ocean to do, right? Not even Chicago. Like, Chicago and other leagues would be
like, I'm fine.
A big
you
city,
bring
but...
LAFC, you bring in Olivier Giroud, like, we'll keep Cucho. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you can have him.
Go
right ahead.
That works out great for me.
Yeah, go right ahead. Now, a guy who has obviously done some damage in MLS is this Lionel Messi character. He is going to miss an upcoming friendly with Argentina.
Oh, boy.
And somewhere, China is mad. They're just mad even though it doesn't involve them now. They're just like, we don't like him either.
See that guy?
Yeah.
See what he's doing?
I mean, I don't.
Surprised?
No. I mean, if I were Lionel Messi, I would be on does this game matter at all? This is a friendly. Like, what? I mean,
do you guys see the World Cup that we have?
Yeah.
Like, it's
that
still residing in our country. Like,
have you not
seen 8 years ago when I said I'm retiring from the national team because of everything that's going on? And then, we won a World Cup.
Yeah,
like, if there's anybody to get a free pass, and he's dealing with an injury, right? I mean, I know that's been a thing for Miami. Like, he's been kind of nursing this lower leg or calf injury or whatever it's been. One, he's an older player. Two, he has played a shitload of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, He's the best player, arguably, to ever walk planet Earth. And if he wants to sit down to some games and say, I need a rest, I played a lot of minutes over the last 365 days, 2 years or whatever it is, then I think I've earned that. So yeah. Yes, you have.
You're exactly right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I also think, I can't remember, did Argentina win Copa America with him? I have to believe they would
they
have.
They did. The World Cup, they won. So with the World Cup victory, they have now won.
They've won all the trophies. Right, yes. All the things that they would go for.
They haven't won Euros yet, though. So well, it's tough for them.
Well, damn it. What's up with that? Why
not? And Erling Haaland. Why hasn't Erling Haaland and Lionel Messi played in any major tournament?
They haven't played any major Euro minutes at all. How dare they? Losers. So that's fine. I think he's probably saving himself up for MLS All-Star game. Right. You know, that's really probably what it is. Mm-hmm. Just trying to get those minutes. And then finally, we kind of buried this. We talked about it earlier a little bit, but what a game for your guys in the FA Cup. It's coming back and beating Liverpool at the death. What was that,
121st?
That's about as late as you can do it.
It was pretty remarkable. So I was over at City Tavern, and come by if you're a fan. If you're a Liverpool fan, come by, because good buddy Jeff, who is actually friends with neighbor Eric, and I met him through that. He was over, and he's a big Liverpool fan as well. So he was sitting there watching the game with me. He's like, I'm sorry for crashing your spot. I'm like, dude, I don't care. I'm like, we're nice people. It doesn't really bother me. Nobody's going to heckle you. I'm like, we're just here to watch a fun game, and you guys are going to beat our brains in, so it doesn't really matter. So we get into the game and United go up 1-0. It's like, okay, great. Liverpool score two right before half. I'm sitting next to my other buddy and I'm just saying, I'm like, well, they'll just kill the game. They possess it and chance didn't pop up until, you know, the 79th, 80th minute. Boom. United 2-2. Okay, that's cool. We're heading to extra time.
Where you think probably Manchester United is going to lose.
Yeah.
That's probably where they'll lose it.
Of course. But I don't know. I'm like, Old Trafford was rocking. You tie the game up. Yeah. Like, momentum's on your side. Rashford had a chance right at the end of the 90th minute to put Liverpool away. Missed it wide. That was like three or four times he had those missed opportunities.
I don't know. I mean, like, if he was the Marcus Rashford, like, even last year, like, that game would have been over, you're right, much earlier in that day.
Yeah, so it's 2-2, go to extra time. Harvey Elliott scores a nice goal off of huge deflection. So it's 3-2. Antony scores, because of course he does, right? he hasn't scored a goal all year for them. Sign him for $90 million, no production, nothing. Turns around, right foot, gets the goal, cool. It's like, all right, I couldn't watch penalties. I told you last week, I was watching Arsenal and I was watching Atletico Madrid in the midweek last week, just watching them do penalties.
Yeah.
And I can't take it. I'm not a fan of either of those teams or the teams that they're playing against. And I'm like, with my eyes over my hands over my eyes, I'm like, I'm already nervous. I'm like, I can't do a shootout against Liverpool.
Yeah.
And so Liverpool's on a corner. I'm like, yeah, they're going to score here. Like, it's just going to be the way it is. Liverpool's going to win it off the death. Ahmad Diallo, your guy, nicks the ball off of, I think it was Harvey Elliott, nicks the ball off of Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, it came out of the box, and then whoever it was trying to settle it for Liverpool, and then he just, like,
couldn't do
it. He kind of broke through and tapped it out, and then
tapped it off to Garnacho, and then it's a 2-1. Yeah. I'm thinking that Ahmad's going to lay it back to Garnacho, and that guy
says, defender.
You know what? Doesn't matter. I'm going to take it on with my left foot. I'm going to scuff it right across the face of the goalkeeper, 121st minute, boom, game over. United goes into the semifinals against Coventry,
right?
Which is going to be great.
Yeah, oh, that'll be a fun atmosphere, right? Because Coventry,
and it's at Wembley, so yes. Oh, okay. I mean, it'll be a fun atmosphere because that was probably few and far between for them.
Yeah, absolutely. But so Ahmad Diallo,
your guy,
he played for Sunderland last year. Had I want to say over a dozen goals for Sunderland, and was a lone player for Manchester United. Obviously, a lot of Sunderland fans were very disappointed to see him go back to the team that loaned him, but good for him, man. I know he had, he was a young player for Manchester United. They loaned him out a few times, and then he gets in the end of a game like this, which is, you know, a big chance against Liverpool, and then he has a moment like that.
And immediately got sent off with a red card. Did you hear what he said? So he was on a yellow.
No, I didn't hear what he said.
So he takes off his shirt in celebration and is going nuts.
Yeah, he held up his back of his jersey to show people, like, this is me, just so you know.
Scott McTominay comes over and says something to him. He immediately, like, puts his hands in his head. because he realizes, he's like, I forgot I was on a yellow. He's like, that's another automatic yellow.
Yeah, right,
They're all huddling around him. He's trying to like sneakily put his shirt back
on.
He gets the red card. He's like walking down the tunnel into the locker room. Whistle then blows, game's over. He immediately like comes running back onto the field.
Good for him. Yeah, man. I mean, that's one of those moments that I don't know what his career will be at Manchester United. And
it's an awesome individual moment.
But he'll always have that. He'll be one of those guys that could always drink in Manchester. Well, depending on which bar he's in, right?
Yeah.
If it's a red one. But he'll be able to go drink in there for the rest of his life off of that goal. Like, good for him. Not that I don't know if he drinks. I'm just saying, whatever. He'll have a meal, whatever he wants. He'll be able to have it because of that one moment. And that's what sports does for us. So, very cool stuff. All right. The last thing, I guess, we should mention. We found out the date of the Chelsea-Manchester City game.
Yep.
It's at Ohio Stadium. It is, am I wrong, August 3rd?
Sure.
That's the right date, I believe. I think that's right. Yeah, I believe it's
August 3rd. You said it with so much confidence that I'm not one to
tell
you that.
It was August 3rd. And no, the reason that it freaked me out was because I'm pretty sure that's, I think that's when I have a like 20-mile hike scheduled that I'm doing with friends. My buddy Sam Fahmy, who's been on this podcast before.
August 3rd, you nailed it.
Yeah, so it is August 3rd. So, great. I won't go. But I would like to have gone because I've already scheduled something.
I'm not going to that thing.
No. Well, it's Manchester City. Why would you go see it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think it's really cool. But
I missed the last one that was at Ohio Stadium too. So I'm disappointed that I'll miss both of them.
The last time that I went, it was Real Madrid. It was PSG back in 2016 or 2017.
It was a while ago.
It was a while ago. It was 200 degrees. We were sitting 500 feet away from, or 500 feet up in the air.
Yeah.
I'm already exhausted and I haven't even done anything.
I understand.
And if I can go watch.
Oh, we'll go watch Aston Villa.
If I can watch Villa, I'll go Villa and Columbus play in a place that has no bad seats.
Tickets are on sale for that, by the way. If you haven't seen, you should get them. Snatch them up.
If you want to go to City and Chelsea, I think it's a very cool thing that we're doing.
Yeah,
I have no personal interest in attending.
Number one, it's a team you absolutely hate. And then it's Manchester City, right? Yeah. So I'm sure you don't really hate Chelsea.
They're fine.
I just thought I'd throw that in there. All right. Well, in either case, hopefully we'll get to see you this summer at one of those games if you're going, as long as you're going to the Aston Villa game.
Unless we get to have Pep on the podcast, then I will go.
You know, we should work on that. We should work on getting a Manchester City player. I think that would be the funniest outcome of all of this.
You know,
is that
really
you
funny
get to interview a Manchester City player.
If we have somebody like send, you know, some staff emails like, hey guys, I've got someone coming into the building today. You know, can someone let them in or like whatever. If there's a like email set up, it's like we've got just some guy coming in and there's this 6'6" Viking character who walks through. It's like, who do you? Oh, that's cool. What do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm Erling Haaland.
Like, I think he's Dutch. It said something about Holland. I don't know. Ask him about windmills and tulips. I don't know.
I would have to wear United.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes. You don't shy away from that.
I'm wearing it today and just picked it out.
You wear that and I'd wear crew colors and they'd be like, oh, you didn't wear it. And be like, yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Go yourself. Yeah, that's right. You just start singing in their face.
Yeah.
Like, just start singing songs.
Oh, we're going to leave now. Okay, that's fine.
No, man. Like, that would be just our luck, though, is that they would be like, yeah, guys, Pep Guardiola is coming on with Anthony Rothman. Ah, guys.
Only I understand and appreciate the accurateness of that statement.
Exactly how that would go.
You have two guys that do a soccer podcast.
That's exactly what they would do. They would be like, yeah, we'll throw them on. Yeah,
because
Man and Bone don't do interviews, and it's too early for the morning show. We'll give it to the midday guys.
Yeah,
and
then, tell me about what do you got going on.
Although Matty Ice would be properly hyped for that. He does follow soccer a bit, so he knows Pep Guardiola.
AR
would be like,
I'd pay good money to hear it. It's like,
AR's a journalist. He would do his homework. He would get it right.
It's like,
yeah.
that could be the greatest manager of all time.
I would pay to hear
Bob talk to Pep Guardiola.
Oh, that would be great. Well, you know, Bob would respect the greatness, though.
He would.
Bobby Carpenter would be really excited about that. The guy I would want to hear do the interview is, I would pay more to just have a solo cam shooting of just right on Pep Guardiola's face when he meets Dom Tiberi. hey Pep, how you doing?
Like, is that short for pepperoni?
Hey pepperoni, my guy, how you doing? I make a mean pizza pie.
I brought you some. Did you like Urban Meyer when he was here with the Buckeyes?
I would pass out if that happens. Like, I And again, they wouldn't tell us. They would be like, oh, there was some soccer guy here today. Who is he? Pep Guardiola.
Pep,
I don't know.
Pep Guardiola.
Pep Jardinier. I don't know. Something.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for not telling the soccer guys. Because to them, it's like you could have like a junior high soccer coach or
Pep Guardiola.
Like Pep Guardiola. And they'd be like, well, I don't know. It's soccer, right? That's your thing. You want to talk to him? It's like, oh, they just.
No.
People just don't get it here sometimes. It's okay. People don't get it probably where you are with soccer, too. That's why
we
come together on the podcast. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And gals, of course. We appreciate all of you. And we will talk to you next week. Enjoy. Thanks for listening to Bone and Beam United.